Well, wouldn't it be nice to enjoy a home-cooked meal without all of the work that sometimes seems to be connected with it? That's where the slow cooker comes in. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at cooking comfort foods in your slow cooker on the show today, award-winning author Michelle Ciccoloni, our guest today with us. She's written 20 cookbooks, including the 2010 bestseller, The Italian Slow Cooker. So we'll talk about ways to master meats, as we were just talking about on the show. We'll look at vegetables, we'll look at soups, and a whole lot more. And as we talk with Michelle, I hope you'll join in. What's your favorite dish to make in a slow cooker? Do you prefer meat or vegetables in your appliance? Join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@WPR.org. Michelle Ciccoloni, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Nice to be with you.
Well, I have two slow cookers, and I had a crock pot and got rid of it. Now I'm sorry I did, because I'll explain. But maybe to start, what's the main difference between a slow cooker and a crock pot?
Absolutely none. Crock pot is a brand name for slow cookers. So slow cooker is the generic name. You might say Kleenex, for example. That's your brand name. That's equal to crock pot. And you might say tissues, and that's your generic name.
Well, the slow cookers, when I got the slow cookers, which are a different shape, I'm thinking, when I think crock pot, I always think about that round pot.
Right. The original style.
The original style, and I had one, and I got rid of it when I got the slow cooker. I wound up with two slow cookers, but there was a recipe in the crock pot that I loved to make. I even bought the little aluminum cylindrical thing that fit inside the crock pot to make this pineapple upside down cake in the crock pot. Well, the darn thing is a little bit too tall to fit properly in my slow cooker. So now I'm going to have to go back and spend $10 on a crock pot, the old-fashioned kind, if I want it to work.
The thing is that the newer ones, the oval-shaped ones that you're talking about, they have a larger capacity generally.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful if you're making something like a stew. I mean, I always make double the amount that I need so that way I can put another meal aside in the freezer or for later in the week or later whenever. And the same thing with soup. So I like to have that big oval size slow cooker. It's more versatile. And also the newer ones have different features that make them easier to use and more reliable.
Absolutely. By the way, you have a special connection to Italy. We should just mention that. I was many years ago, you went out there on your honeymoon with your husband, and since then you've traveled there multiple times a year. What is it about the Italian culture and cooking that keeps you going back?
I just love the whole atmosphere there. The Italians are so welcoming. They really are very nice to Americans. They'll invite you into their home. If you're in a restaurant, they'll give you something extra, try this dish, have a glass of wine on the house. They're very welcoming. And I love the culture. And we like to go to the museums and to see those historic sites. It's just awe-inspiring, you know, to see the Colosseum or something that was built thousands of years ago, and it's still there and still surviving for us to enjoy. So there's so much about it. The weather's great, generally.
Okay. All right. Got that answered. Well, how should people approach, say you want a slow cooker, how should people approach buying a slow cooker while also considering size?
Well, other than size, I think you want to see what features you're looking for. It's very helpful to have one that has a built-in timer. There are kinds that are programmable so that you can set it to cook on on high for an hour, and then it will automatically switch to low. And then it'll even switch over to warm if you want to just keep the food, at a good eating temperature for later. So those are two features that I like. They have you want one with a see-through lid. Sometimes they're not, and you have to, if you want to see how the food is doing, you're going to have to open it. But you don't want to open your slow cooker any more than you have to, because then the heat escapes, and once that happens, you affects the cooking time. So these are some of the features that I always look for: a timer, a beeper that signals you when the food is cooked, so you know to take a look at it if you're at home, and a good size pot too.
You know what I like? Another thing I like about the one I have, or the two that I have, is there you can clamp the top at once you are finished.
Yeah.
And let's say I want to go to the relatives and take this dish, this chili or whatever it is, along. I can clamp the lid on so that it won't come off.
That's a great thing, because you wouldn't like to have a big pot of hot chili sloshing around in the back seat of your car, I'm sure. But I have a whole list of different features to look for in my cookbooks. I've actually done three slow cooker books. The first one was Italian, and the second is a French slow cooker book. And then I explored the rest of the Mediterranean in my Mediterranean slow cooker. So we have samples of some Spanish dishes and Portuguese and so forth. Absolutely, that's a great feature to have, and no matter what kind of cooking you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I'm thinking Italian cooking, I'm thinking, well, let's see, what would I do in the slow cooker? Could I do a lasagna in a slow cooker?
Yeah, you could. I generally steer away from pasta dishes, because being Italian, I'm very fussy about, it should be cooked al dente, as we say. And so like a general pasta dish, pasta with tomato sauce or a meat sauce, I'll cook the pasta on top of the stove. It doesn't take very long, really. Pasta works really well in dishes that would normally be baked, like a lasagna, where you don't expect it to be al dente. You like the pasta to be soft there, or you can add pasta to your soup. And another thing that I do that I love, and I was listening a little bit to the conversation that you had before this one, for a meatless dish, is to do a layered polenta. You can buy those logs of cooked polenta in the supermarket.
Yeah.
You just slice that up and you treat it like lasagna. Mm. And you lay the slices of polenta and your tomato sauce and some cheese. You can use some of those great cheeses that you have in Wisconsin, mozzarella or Asiago or whatever cheese you like, and make a delicious polenta lasagna. And it's something a little different, and it's very tasty and very easy.
How do you get it out of the pot?
How do you get it? You have to take it out in portions. You're not going to be able to unmold it, I'm afraid. No, that won't work. The only way you could do that is if you have a pan, like you said, with your pineapple cake, upside down cake, is if you had a pan that fit in there and you put it in the pan, and then you could unmold it from the pan.
Do they make pans that are, that oval shape? Do they make them just for slow cookers?
I don't think so.
I was trying to.
I have a small cake pan. I have several small cake pans that fit in my slow cooker, because I do like to make cakes in the slow cooker. They come out great, especially cheesecakes.
Yeah, I'm wondering about my upside down pineapple upside down cake.
I'm sure you could find the right pan. You just have to. Maybe you can find one, a used one, in a thrift store or something, so you don't have to spend too much for it.
Well, yeah, with those you got to flip them upside down when they're done. So it's hard to do without that special pot that I've got that goes inside the normal crock pot. Well, we are talking today. This is a lot of fun, and we'll continue that fun as well with our guest Michelle Ciccoloni, award-winning food writer and cookbook author, over 20 cookbooks, and three of them relating to slow cookers. And she will be with us right up until 12:30 today. She's based in Manhattan, by the way. I should have mentioned that before. You can join in. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about slow cookers and how to master the appliance. And here to answer your questions is food writer Michelle Ciccoloni. Michelle has written 20 cookbooks, and three of them relate to slow cookers. The titles are Mediterranean Slow Cooker, The French Slow Cooker, and The Italian Slow Cooker. So, as we talk with her, what questions do you have for her? What are some tips and tricks every cook should know? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And let's take a call. Alex in Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Larry.
Sure.
So my wife and I, we got gifted a crock pot probably 2-3 years ago when we were still students and not really that good at cooking. But recently we just decided to take it off the shelf and dust it off and really kind of try our hand at actually putting together some recipes. So my question is, if we were cooking for a guest or family and we really wanted to impress them, what are some good, like, amateur recipes that maybe seem a little bit more impressive than they are to actually put together?
Ah,
thank you.
Good question, Alex. Thanks a lot. What do you think, Michelle?
Gee, there are so many wonderful dishes that you can make in your slow cooker crock pot. If you want to give it a little French accent, you can make something like a choucroute garni, which is simply a bunch of sausages and smoked meats cooked with sauerkraut and potatoes. And it's a wonderful, hearty winter meal. Also in that vein, you can make a cassoulet, which is typically French and very popular at this time of year when it's so cold. And that's beans. And it's often done with duck, but you don't have to use duck. You can use chicken or pork or a combination of meats is really best, and some white beans and lots of garlic. That is very, very delicious and very continental if you want to go that route. There are so many things that you can make in the slow cooker. So many are adaptable. A beautiful soup, for example, to start your meal before a roast. Butternut squash is one of my favorites. All kinds of vegetable soups would be wonderful and always very impressive, I think.
Yeah, so good suggestions. My mother made the best cassoulet. I've never found anybody's to compare to. It. She used three meats and in it and those white beans, and I love that cassoulet, and
it's delicious.
Oh,
it really is delicious.
It is.
Try the slow cooker version.
Alex, I'd go with a cassoulet.
Oh, and don't forget the desserts. Like I mentioned before, you can make a wonderful cheesecake or a flan and have a really gorgeous dessert to go with the rest of your meal.
Yeah, so some very good tips there. Jack in Duluth, Minnesota has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Larry. So I have two questions about slow cooker cooking. I have two slow cookers, and each of them seems to have a hot spot, like the heat is only coming
in
one spot, and they kind of burn. And when I cook, I do a lot of steel-cut oats overnight, and it just seems like there's always a dry spot or a burn spot in it. Is that normal? And how does one deal with it?
Well, it it is normal for many slow cookers have hot spots because the electrical element is primarily on the bottom and around the sides of the pot. And so just the way those wires are placed in there, I'm hardly an electrical engineer, but the way those wires are placed inside the pot can affect, how it cooks. So how to avoid it? Are you cooking it on the lowest possible?
Well, I cook on the low setting overnight.
Maybe you can, does it have a timer on it? Because you can set it to start later. For example, if you go to sleep at 11, you can set the cooker to start at 2 in the morning, and then it will cook less. It'll be fully cooked and hot when you wake up, but you won't have it cooking so long that you get that hot spot. Another thing you might try is just adding a little bit more liquid to the pot, and maybe that will help to prevent it from getting that hot, that burnt spot.
I'll try both of those. Neither of them has a timer, but I know how to set timers on my outlets, so that's not a big deal. My other question deals with the high and low settings.
Yes.
I have heard that the difference between high and low settings is that the high setting just gets up to temperature faster, but it operates at the same temperature as the low setting. And then I've heard that the high setting is in fact a higher temperature. And both of my units are Crock-Pot, the brand name Crock-Pot. So,
yeah. Okay. Michelle, what do you think?
The high setting should be about 100 degrees higher than the low setting. And if you really want to test your pots out, I suggest that you fill them with water to about 2/3 of the depth of the pot and run it for a while, and then use a reliable instant reading thermometer to test the temperature once it's gotten up to where it should be for cooking. It starts to simmer. So a low setting should be about 180 to 200 degrees, and a high setting should be about 300 degrees. So check that out, and that way you'll know for sure what your pots are doing.
Yeah. Good points. Jack, good luck with that. Thank you very much. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Speaking of emails, Doug from Madison sent us an email. He's shocked that you can make a cheesecake in a slow cooker, and he wants to know how.
Well, it's just like making any other cheesecake. I have several recipes. I have a wonderful classic cheesecake topped with blueberry sauce. I have a cannoli cheesecake. I have a chocolate cheesecake in my book. And they all come out beautifully smooth on the surface because the slow cooker just cooks at such a low, even temperature that the pots, the cakes don't have a chance to crack. So I highly recommend it. You put a little rack. You can make a rack out of a circle of tin foil on the bottom of your pot, and you have to have a pan that fits into the slow cooker. Mine is about 7 inches in diameter, and you can find them online very easily. Mm-hmm. And you make this your regular cheesecake and put it in the pan and set it in there, and they cook beautifully. It takes a few hours, about 3 hours. But you'll have a great cheesecake.
Yeah, there you go. I think that pineapple upside down cake takes about 3 hours, if I'm not mistaken. and it always turns out great. How is using a slow cooker? Another email. How is using a slow cooker when making a stew? Is it different from baking a stew in a very low oven, that, you know, like 175 to 190 oven?
It's very similar, but the difference is that I would feel more comfortable leaving my slow cooker running during the day for 8 hours or so than I would leaving the house with my oven on for that long a period of time. I think it's a safer way to cook for a long period of time.
Yeah, that makes good sense to me as well. Well, on soups, a friend invited me over for dinner last night, and she made a wonderful soup. But she didn't use a slow cooker. I'm wondering, when you make a soup in a slow cooker, what are the common mistakes people might make in making a soup in a slow cooker? Let's put it that way.
Well, if you have, let's say you have some green vegetables, some delicate leaves that you want to add to your soup. Let's say you want to put some spinach in your soup. I wouldn't put that in from the beginning. I think that you should cook your soup base, and then you can just add a tender vegetable like spinach toward the end of the cooking time. So that way it'll keep its bright color and it won't get overcooked. It'll still have some nice texture. That's one mistake. I think also you need a good broth to start off with. You can make your broth in advance in the slow cooker if you want. On a cold day when you're indoors, take some chicken scraps, you know, all of those parts that you haven't used that you stick in the freezer, take those and put them in the slow cooker and cook it down with some aromatic vegetables like carrots and celery and make a really good broth. And then you can turn that into soup or sauce very easily. Do the same thing with beef, or you could even make a wonderful vegetable broth for vegetarians that they can use. And it's so much better than the canned or boxed broths that you buy in the supermarket. So start with a good broth if you're going to make soup. And same thing with meats, as I said about the vegetable. You don't want to put, let's say you want to add chicken breast to the soup. You don't have to add that from the very beginning. You just have to add it so that it has enough time to cook through, but you don't want it to get overcooked and it gets stringy and dry tasting.
Yeah. How long would you keep? Let's say you've got a breast, but you're making it in a soup, for example. You chop it up that way. And then how long typically would you wait?
I think it would take about an hour to cook if the soup is hot and fully cooked already and you want to add that chicken breast toward the end of the cooking time. Depends, you know, you have to cut into small pieces, but check it in about an hour and it should be fine.
Okay. Another email from someone who says, they say slow cookers are great for venison roast, this person says. This person brines the roast overnight, then cook in stewed tomatoes, cider vinegar, brown sugar, onions, peppers, and spices, and it is so good.
It sounds delicious. I'd love that. I have to try it. I don't get to see venison very often here in New York. I wish I knew a hunter who would share some with me. But that sounds like a great dish. I'd be happy to try that.
Yeah, and venison cooked, typically people overcook venison, but I think if you've got a roast,
yeah,
in the slow cooker, you're going to wind up with a very tasty meal for sure.
Absolutely, especially if it's from one of the tougher cuts. You wouldn't want to use something that you might use for a steak, but if it's like a rump or something of the venison, which is going to be tough, it should be delicious, slow cooked with all of those wonderful seasonings.
How does the flavor of a dish change if you say cook it on low for 8 hours versus high for 4 hours?
I think it depends on the dish. Some dishes are done in 4 hours. Some things don't really need the full 8 to 10 hours that people expect. And I've heard people who are disappointed when I say that you can't just put a chicken breast in your slow. You shouldn't put a chicken breast in the slow cooker for 8 to 10 hours on high. I think you'll get much better flavor, if you cook it for 4 hours on low. It should be done beautifully. And as long as you know that the cooking temperature of poultry should be about 165 degrees, you can always, if you're unsure, use an instant read thermometer once again and test the temperature. So it depends on the meat that you're cooking. If it's a whole chicken with the bones in it, it'll take longer to get the flavor and the tenderness that you want. But if you're cooking a chicken breast or something very tender, it'll take less time, and you'll get better flavor if you cook it quickly on high. So it all depends on the meat.
So, let's go to the phones again. Christina in Glenwood City, we'll give you a chance. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. Thank you. I am wondering, when making a roast or a stew, when should you add your root vegetables to prevent them from getting too mushy? I've had that happen in the past.
Well, the problem with root vegetables is that they take a lot longer to cook than, let's say, mushrooms or tomatoes or something that you also might want to put in your stew. And it depends on the size of your roast. So if you have experience with your slow cooker, I would put the root vegetables in, but make them in a, maybe cut them larger than you have in the past. That'll help them to not break down too quickly, and put them in with the roast and put them in on the bottom of the cooker where the heating element is strongest, and around the sides, and cut into large chunks and cook them along with the roast. That way they'll absorb the flavors and share their flavors with the roast. That should prevent them from overcooking because they do need a good amount of time to cook. So try that. Make sure they're in large pieces next time.
Yeah, because I've noticed that vegetables do take longer to cook, actually, than the meat itself. So
you could always start the vegetables an hour sooner, but Christina's concerned about overcooking the
vegetables. Yeah, so, I haven't had that problem. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah,
if anything. So there you
go. Maybe if their big pieces are big.
Make those pieces a bigger, for sure. Well, what's your? First, I want to go back to you. Do you have an online page?
Or I do.
A website?
Yeah, it's my name. My website is my name, and that's Michelle, Michele, Ciccolone, Ciccolone.
And also probably opportunities to perhaps order your cookbooks and so forth.
Oh, sure. They're available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and all the booksellers have them in store and online.
So what are your favorite dishes to make in a slow cooker?
Oh, boy, there's so many good ones. I love to make something like a meatloaf or meatballs in a slow cooker because I never expected that they would hold their shape and come out so delicious as they do. But that's a great dish to make, either one, a meatloaf or meatballs. I have several different recipes in my books, not just Italian style, but I have French meatballs Spanish recipe for meatballs as well, and they're very tasty and very easy to do, and everybody loves them. It's a real crowd pleaser. And when I'm feeling fancier, I'll try one of the dishes I mentioned earlier, like the choucroute or the beans in cassoulet. All bean dishes actually come out great in the slow cooker. A good bean soup, for example, is a wonderful thing too.
You know, what do you, I've never used these, but what do you think about disposable liners for slow cookers? I've never needed to use them.
Yeah. What I generally do to make cleanup easier is I spray the inside of the slow cooker with some cooking spray, and that makes it easy to get off anything that's stuck on it. I try not to use anything disposable if I can avoid it because, you know, I'm trying to be more careful about the environment, and besides, those liners are not easy to find. I haven't seen them in the store lately, so I wouldn't even be able to use it if I wanted to. They're not easy to find.
And Courtney Everett just reminded me that we have a link to your website and to your Italian slow cooker book, so
great.
That'll make it easy. Just go to wpr.org/Larry. and to this particular show date, and you'll have a link if you didn't get the information about Michelle's website. And so the Italian, well, actually, if you go to your site, you're going to get all, you're going to be able to find all of the cookbooks.
Yes.
That are, which one sells the best, by the way?
The Italian slow cooker is the most popular, I think. And they follow in the order that I wrote them. The Italian slow cooker and then the French slow cooker is very popular too. And Mediterranean is the later one.
Well, you know, with the French one, people might think, well, how are you going to do slow French cooking in a slow cooker?
You know, the French cook a lot of really wonderful homey dishes that we don't think about that work great in a slow cooker.
Like the cassoulet.
It really simplifies them. What's that?
Like the cassoulet.
Like the cassoulet. That's the perfect example. Yeah.
Okay. And do you have, somebody else wondered, do you have a recommendation if you're buying a slow cooker, you don't have one, you want to buy one, are there some brands that you suggest?
Yeah, for sure. I know KitchenAid makes a terrific one. Cuisinart makes one. All-Clad is it's a very high-end one. And I know that at one time they had, I'm not sure if they still have this, but they had a model that you can use also on the stovetop as well as in the slow cooker. So if you wanted, for example, to brown your vegetables or roast, you can do it right in the insert. And then you don't have to mess up another pot. So those are three of the top brands. The one with the clamps that we were talking about earlier, that was a favorite of mine. Which one is that? Is that not Wherever?
I can't remember the name of my own slow cooker.
Yeah.
But the one with the clamps on it is really nice.
Yes, I liked it very much. And that was not an expensive one either.
No, it wasn't. Michelle, it's been a great pleasure. Will you come back and be with us again? I'd love to have you on.
My pleasure. My pleasure anytime.
Thank you. Michelle Ciccoloni, award-winning food writer. And again, you can... go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry in today's date, and we'll give you links to her website and to her her books. Wonderful talking with her. And you know what? It's great having you listening in. Thanks so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.